Turning back, please, to Psalm 46. I want to speak this morning on the subject of pressing the pause button. Pressing the pause button. Psalm 46, a well-known, very familiar psalm. And particularly the verse 10. Where the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." Can we just seek God's help in a word of prayer before we come to his word? And let's still our hearts before him. Let's pray God will speak to all of our hearts this morning. As we come to his word, eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for the privilege that is ours to have thy word. Lord, we are thankful today that this is not the words or the thoughts or the imaginations of any man, but this is thy word, the word of God. And we pray, Lord, that thy word will speak to all of our hearts. We ask, O God, that thy word will live today, and Lord, that we'll hear thee. O God, that thy word certainly will talk with us today. Heavenly Father, we pray you'll come and encourage every heart. We ask, O God, you'll come and comfort hearts. And come, yea, Lord, and rebuke us and challenge us afresh. Help us, O God, we pray. We pray, Lord, for the help of the Holy Spirit. Realize, O God, we dare not do this of ourselves. And so, Lord, we look to thee this morning. May thy Spirit, Lord, come. Lord, be amongst us today. We pray, Lord, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. Come and be our teacher. Come and be our guide. Lord, as we look into the Word of God this morning, in the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Sennacherib was a man that struck fear and terror into the heart of King Hezekiah. Sennacherib, as the king of Assyria, was intent on expanding his kingdom and his power. He had already taken many of the cities to the north of Israel. Now his next target and his next plan of attack was Jerusalem itself. He had already sent his threatening letter to Hezekiah, king of Judah. He had already challenged the authority and the ability of their God to defend them in the face of their attack. The words of the wicked, evil Sennacherib were very disturbing and very defiant. And as Hezekiah read the threatening letter from Sennacherib, his mind went into a spin. He rent his clothes, signifying his pain and his sorrow. This was a massive burden for him as he faced into what seemed to be him to be a defeat. And he took that letter that Sennacherib sent to him. And rather than seeking to answer that letter, what he simply did was that he brought it before the Lord, and the words that are recorded for us in Scripture are that he spread it out before the Lord. He could do nothing else. Now it is thought that these were the possible circumstances during which this psalm was penned, Psalm 46. A time of defeat, and certainly a time of great difficulty. As the people faced this challenge, as they faced a very fierce and formidable foe. But Hezekiah left it all with the Lord. In what was a time of trouble, in what was a time of great turmoil and upset and upheaval, it seemed they were defeated, but not so. Because as Hezekiah spread this matter before the Lord went before the people that night, and in one night, one angel destroyed all the Assyrian army, and there were all dead corpses, and the enemy was defeated. Those who were set against the people of God soon realized that the people of God served a God who was greater and more able than any earthly army. You see, in the midst of what was a very anxious time, in the midst of what was a very worrying time, Hezekiah, like all the people of God, had to press the pause button in life. And he had to learn, like we all have to learn, to be still and know that God is God. Maybe in your life right now, there is trouble. There are trials. Maybe right now there are very dark days, very long nights. Well, this morning, we all need to press that pause button. We all need to be still and know that God is God. That no matter what may be going on around us, and no matter what may be disturbing us or discouraging us right now, that we can be still and that we can know that He is God. I want you to notice, first of all, with me as we consider this psalm, the clamor that is unsettling. The clamor that is unsettling. As you read Psalm 46, you will find that there is a lot of noise, a lot of clamor, a lot of commotion, a lot of activity. And as a result of all of this, there is a very unsettling feeling. Fear comes as a result of all this and can often grip our hearts and overcome us and overpower us. All this noise and motion can make the problem seem even greater than it really is. And as a result, we become discouraged. We become dismayed. Notice some of the clamor that's spoken of here in the psalm. There is, in verses 2 to 4, the roaring of creation. Verse 2, we read, "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah. Here speaking about the physical world being troubled, the natural disasters, the earthquakes, the floods, the fires, the hurricanes, the earth often roars, and as a result it brings much worry and anxiety. But the reference, I believe, is not here just simply to the physical or natural world, but also to the secular world. Verse 2 talks about the earth being removed, the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea. Now, no doubt there will come that time. And this old earth will pass away, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. The day of the Lord will come, and all things shall be new. But I believe in those verses 2 and 3, there's also the constant change that we see around us in this secular, godless world. And when there's change, there's always noise. We live in a world of constant and continual change, and there's clamor as a result of that, and that can be very unsettling. The roaring of creation. But then as you come into verse number 6, you see more clamor. Here's now not only the roaring of creation, but there's the raging of the crowds. In verse 6, the heathen raged. And that's not just a mere shouting that they're talking about here. It's such a deafening din from the heathen. As Sennacherib and his Assyrian army came to overtake the city of Jerusalem, they raged, they shouted, they roared. And they uttered their defiance of God. They spoke about their opposition to God. And it seemed to be that everywhere the people turned to, all they could hear was the raging and the roaring of the crowds. All they could hear was antipathy and anger towards the Lord. That their mouths were foaming with anger, such was their rage. And all of this caused the people to become very unsettled. It seemed that the ungodly were having the upper hand. It seemed that defeat now for the people of God was almost a foregone conclusion. Is that not how we as the people of God can often feel in this generation? Do we not hear the raging of the heathen today? Do we not hear their vile words spoken against our God and against His people? Do we not hear their boastings and we see their hands lifted up to defy God and to destroy the church of God? The clamor, the din, the racket, the uproar of their wicked can be so overpowering that we can so easily give up and we can reach the conclusion as the people of God, there is no point anymore. The earth is moving, the mountains are being carried into the midst of the sea, the waters are roaring, the heathen are raging. It's a hopeless cause. It's in such times then that we need to press that pause button. We need to be still and know that He is God. Maybe today, all you can hear is the clamor of the world. Maybe today all you can hear is the raging of the heathen against the church of Christ and the cause of Christ. Well, it's in such times then that we need to hit that pause button. We need to hit that mute button on the world and hear from the Word of God. There's the clamor that is unsettling. But I want you to see something more here. There's the confidence that is unwavering. The confidence that is unwavering. Because you see, in the midst of all this clamor, in the midst of all this commotion and all of this noise from the world, the psalmist here has a confidence that is unwavering. That no matter what is going on in this world, no matter how defiant and hostile the world may become, here is a confidence that is unwavering. Look how the psalm commences. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He opens this psalm, which is so much commotion and so much clamor involved in it. He opens this psalm with an unwavering confidence. God is our refuge and strength. He turned to the Lord. He hit the pause button in the midst of his troubles and his darkness, and he sought to know more about God. He sought to remind himself of the care, the oversight, the concern of God toward his people. Because in the midst of all that's going on in this world, so often we can't overlook the fact that God cares for his people. In the midst of a heathen, hostile world, we can so easily forget that he is our God. You think of this care here, it's personal. God is our refuge. He uses the personal possessive, not pronoun there. He is our refuge. Hezekiah received this letter filled with hate from his opponent, filled with threats and filled with accounts of what the enemy was going to do. Hezekiah took it to his Lord, to his God. He laid the whole matter out before his God. God was not some abstract person far from his people. Child of God today, we have a personal relationship with God. He is our God. He is our Father. We are His children. This care is personal. This care is also protective. The refuge there speaks of protection. speaks of a place of safety, a place of security. And often when troubles come, when trials press hard upon us and we feel insecure and we feel overcome, there's times like that that we must hit the pause button and remind ourselves that we are protected by God, that we are sheltered in the arms of God, that we say like Isaiah of old, that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee shall thou shalt condemn. Thank God today that no weapon of hell, no power of hell that is formed against the people of God, that rises against the church of God, none of those weapons shall prosper, because God is our refuge. He protects His people. This care as well is practical. Our strength. The opposition is great. And the battle is hard. We feel that strength is almost gone. We don't have the strength to keep going on. But God gives us that strength to press on, to live on, and to serve Him. Even though the challenge may be great, even though the trouble may be immense, God gives us that strength. Folks, how many times have we ran on empty? How many times in our spiritual life has the orange light come on? You know that orange light in the car? And there's not enough fuel to get you to the next service station and you're in bother. How often have we been there? How often we've lived on and past blessings and thinking that will suffice for now. But how thankful we are that when we wait upon the Lord, He renews our strength. How thankful we are that when we seek Him and we look to Him, He puts strength within us. When we grow tired and weary in the battle and we feel it's pointless and there's no point in going on, He gives us that strength to keep going on. It's practical care. It's protective care. It's personal care. But it's also perpetual care. A very present help. It's constant. It's help for today. It'll be help for tomorrow. God is a refuge for us today. He'll also be a refuge for us tomorrow. God gives us strength today. God will also give us strength tomorrow. He's a very present help. There's never a time of trouble, but His help is not sufficient. And how often we need to remind ourselves of that. And you see, whenever the psalmist hit the pause button, in the midst of all the clamor, in the midst of all the din that was going on around him, he reminded himself, God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is a very present help in trouble. What confidence flooded the heart and soul of the psalmist here when he took time to press the pause button in the midst of his trials. There's also not only the clamor, the confidence, but there's also the calmness that is unparalleled in verse number 2. Therefore, will not we fear? Now think about it. The enemy's at the gate. And they've already taken over many other regions and many other cities. Trouble is abounding. The noise is ever more deafening, yet the psalmist is calm and he says, we will not fear. And the construction in the original Hebrew in verse number 2 is a double positive. It couldn't be any more positive. Will not we fear? There's no possibility of fear. It's a very definite statement. Therefore, will not we fear? We pointed out in the past, whenever you see that word therefore in Scripture, ask yourself the question, what is therefore there for? Why, could the psalmist say, will not we fear? Because God is our refuge and our strength. Because God is our present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear? The psalmist presses the pause button in the midst of the upset, the upheaval, and he reminds himself of who God is. That all hope is not lost. Yes, there was a fearful enemy, but he focused on the Lord. There was hope. And there is always hope, and there is always reason to keep going on because of him. Oh, too often we can become defeated. Too often we can become downhearted. And too often we want to give up, we want to throw in the towel, we want to go back and believe that all hope is gone. Over recent times I've been challenged personally. But how downbeat we can become, particularly concerning the work of God. And we feel that in some way we're boxed into a corner. All hope is gone. We see no future. But thank God there is hope in the Lord. And dear child of God today, don't let the devil win the mind battle in your mind. When he'll come and tell you, look at the opposition. Look at the raging of the heathen. Give up. Shut up. And go home. But because God is our refuge, because God is our strength, because God is a very present help in trouble, therefore will not we fear. It's His work. This is His church. We are His people. And there's always hope in Him. During the infamous 30 Years' War of the 17th century in Central Europe, a German pastor by the name of Paul Gerhardt and his family, they were forced to flee from their home. And one night in a very small village inn, hopeless and afraid, his wife broke down, cried openly in despair. And she turned to her husband and she said, there's no point anymore. Continuing on in the work of the pastorate. There's no point you continuing to preach because the enemy's too great. And the comforter, Gerhardt, turned into some of the promises about God's protection and God's keeping. But soon he himself was overcome with despair. And leaving their room that night, he went out in to the little garden that there was in that hotel where they were staying. And he wept. And he believed that as far as he was concerned, his ministry was over. And he got before God and he began to cry aloud and he poured out his heart before God. And as he did so, God came and spoke to him in a most remarkable way. Because as God spoke to him through his word, those burdens lifted. And Paul Gerhardt was reminded by God, there's always hope. There's always a prospect. There's always a future in the work of God. He later went on to write the words of that hymn that we sang earlier. Give to the winds thy fears. Hope and beyond dismayed, God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through waves and clouds and storms, he gently leads the way where thou hast time. So shall the night end in joyous day. Paul Gerhard, his wife and family, went back to the ministry and saw great work done for God. When it seemed that all was gone, they hit the pause button. They took time. God challenged them. God showed them that in the work of God there's always a future. We may be facing what appears to be a hopeless situation. Our hearts become surrounded by despair and doubt and fear and fret. Oh, how we need to press the pause button and say, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble, therefore will not we fear. The clamour that's unsettling, the confidence that is unwavering, the calmness that is unparalleled, but I want you to see as well the command that is unrivaled. Come down to verse 10. Here's the command. Be still and know that I am God. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. It simply means let go and let God. It's not just about taking time out, and I know that many will use it in that sense, and that's totally appropriate and totally right. Not just about taking time out to reflect and meditate and consider, but more than that. It means to cease striving and stop trying to work it out yourself. Just leave it to the Lord. The enemy is rising, the heathen is raging, the troubles are increasing, but be still. You are my people. God says, I am your God. I will defend you. I will protect you. Therefore, be still. And he's saying today to the church of Jesus Christ and to the people of God, take your hands off this situation and leave it in my hands. Be still today and realize that if God be for us, who can be against us? Because it's not until we do that that we can know and we can see God at work in our lives and in our circumstances. You remember the children of Israel as they faced the Red Sea. They saw and they heard the lapping of the waves in front of them. They heard the clanging of Pharaoh's army coming behind them. They complained. They were fearful. They were overcome with dread that as far as they were concerned, all hope was lost. They were taken out of Egypt, out of bondage, now to die in the wilderness, as they saw it. Yet Moses comes to them and says, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still. In other words, take your hand of this situation. Stop trying to work your way through the situation because there was no way for them, humanly speaking. Take your hand off it. Leave it in the hands of God. What did God do? He opened up the Red Sea. They marched through on dry ground. Not one of them was lost. When they took time and they hit the pause button, they saw the hand of God at work. Are there situations today you're trying to handle them yourself? Perhaps you've got your own program, own agenda as to how this will work out and different steps and all the rest of it, what you need to do.
The best thing we can do is just let go of it. Give it to God. Be still. And know that I am God. While all around may be raging, that causes us to be overcome with fear and we feel we need to do something. The best thing we can do is to heed the command of verse 10, just to be still. Let go of it. Give it over to God. Let Him deal with it as He sees fit. There's the clamour that is unsettling. There's the confidence that is unwavering. There's the calmness that's unparalleled, the command that's unrivaled. But finally, there's the consolation that is unequaled. Because you see, whenever we step back, and whenever we are still, and whenever we let go and when we let God, whenever we hit that pause button in life, we realize certain truths that so often we can forget. Truths that bring great comfort, counsel, and great encouragement. There are so many truths in this psalm that bring great comfort to the heart of the people of God in dark and difficult days. Truths that lighten the darkness and truths that lift the burden. Let me suggest just a few of them here. The first truth we find in the opening words of verse 1. God is. Just two words. But what a truth. God is. Something we'll be considering on Thursday night. In a little more detail, the reality of God. God is. In a heathen, godless, secular society in which we live today, God is. What a consolation to know that the wickedness of man can do nothing to erode the reality and the existence of God. God is. The humanist will tell us today, God is not. The agnostic will tell us, well, God might be. But thank God today for the believer, we can say with absolute certainty, God is His reality. In such a secular, skeptical, sick age in which we live today, God still is. Notice another truth. Not only that God is, but in verses 5 and 9, notice that God is for us. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Verse 9, He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. God is for us. God's sovereign hand is seen in all of this psalm, working for His people, protecting, providing, preserving. Oh, many may be against us. Many may be opposing us. But God is for us. Because He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. And He burneth the chariot in the fire. You see, today the prospects for the child of God are as bright as the promises of God, because God is still for His people today. David, when he faced the giant of Goliath, and Goliath came with those raging words to him, "Am I a dog? You come to beat me with sticks and staves, David? Go ahead. Do your worst." David looked that giant in the face with a confidence in his God and said, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. This day I'll take that head from off you and I'll feed your carcass to the birds of the air." Why? Because God was for David and God was against the Philistine giant. You think of the three Hebrew children. Nebuchadnezzar came to them and how dare they defy the king's orders. They said, "You'll bow down." And they said, "Well, not." Nebuchadnezzar reminded them, "You don't, you'll be in the fire." What did they say? "If it be so." But our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand. And did he? Of course he did. Because God is for his people. And when God is for us today, it doesn't matter who's against us. Not only was God for us, but also in verse 5 we see that God is in us. God in the midst of her. God indwells his people and fills his children. And even though we become dismayed, we will never be destroyed. God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Very quickly, God is with us. Verse 7 and verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Emmanuel, God with us. Not just one of the hosts of heaven, but the Lord of all the hosts of heaven. As you seek to live for God and serve him, he's with you. The God of Jacob. Why not the God of Abraham? Why not the God of the man who was so faithful and obedient? Why Jacob? The one who failed the Lord. Because thank God, whenever we fail him, he never leaves us nor forsakes us, but he continues to work for us. God is with us. With us in life and with us in death. Surrounded by his friends on the 2nd of March 1791, John Wesley completed his earthly race. And grasping the hands of those that he loved, John Wesley declared as he went out to meet God in eternity, said, "Best of all, God is with us." Others may fail us, others may flee from us, others may forsake us, but thank God, he is with us. Let me leave you with this thought. Here's another consolation. Not only that God is and that God is for us and in us and with us. Look at verse 10. He's coming for us. Verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." I believe that exaltation in its fullest and clearest display will be when Christ returns to this earth. When every eye shall behold him, when every knee shall bow before him, Christ is coming for his people, coming for his church. Christ is coming again. That new heaven and that new earth. That day when the elements will melt with that fervent heat. That day when Christ comes for his people. You remember what the angel told the disciples there on the Mount of Olives? Why stand ye gazing? Why stand you gazing? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Christ is coming back for his people. He's not going to leave us. He's coming for us. What consolation. Is he coming for you? Are you ready to meet him today? Are you saved? Do you know him as your Savior? Is he coming for you to receive you to glory, to damn you in hell? Today he's your Savior, and that day he'll be your judge. But thank God for each one that's saved and ready. Know Christ as our Savior. He's coming back again. In the battles, in the troubles, in the difficulties. How we need to press the pause button in life. How we need to be still and know that God is God. That God is. That God is for us, God is in us, God is with us. One day God is coming for us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Press the pause button. Let go. Let God be still and know that I am God. Let's bow in prayer.